Title of this message is Jesus Can Save Anyone. And sadly today we live in a time whenever that's controversial to say. Jesus, I'm here to tell you, Jesus can save anyone. Let's go to John chapter 4 verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, but he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then the woman of Samaria, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Many Jews would even go, anytime they needed to go into Galilee or the northern countries of Israel, they would make a big bypass around Samaria because they didn't even want to walk through Samaria. They had no dealings with the Samaritans because they were half-breeds. The Samaritans were half-breeds. During the Grecian Empire, a lot of they crossed with the Greeks, really. So they were half-Greek and half-Jews and half-Romans as well. So they were kind of a mixed breed of people, and the Jews did not want anything to do with them because they didn't want to have anything to do with them because they wasn't pure. But the first point that I want to make is Jesus can save any skin color. Whenever Noah got off the ark, he had three sons. Shem, he's the father of the Asian people. All of Shem's descendants went east, and on east into America. That's the reason why everything east of that place has Asian-looking people. Ham's descendants went south towards Africa. That's where all the African people come from Ham. Japheth's descendants went north. The European people, Russians, people of that descent came from Japheth. That's where different skin colors come from. Turn with me to the book of Acts. We're going to read people from different skin colors getting saved. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So the Ethiopian eunuch was a black man. He was from Ethiopia. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. We taught this in Sunday school. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare that his generation for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom
speakest the prophet this, of himself or of another man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came up to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. That was a black man saved in the New Testament. We're going to read a descendant of Ham. We're going to read about a descendant of Shem getting saved. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul was a Jew, a descendant of Shem. And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus to the synagogues. If he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he trembled and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision from a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, and that he might receive his sight." And Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." But the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, and said, "Brother Saul, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat and was strengthened, then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Wow, what a transformation. Went from very hostile to Christians to being one of them to a preacher of one of them. And this was a descendant of Shem. What about Japheth? Go to Acts chapter 16. We're going to read how God saved a white man. Acts chapter 16, verse 27. Acts 16:27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. This was a white Roman soldier. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the words of the Lord, and to all that were in his house they gave him the gospel. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. That's Shem, Ham, and Japheth in the book of Acts. Descendants of all three getting saved. Jesus can save anybody. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26. "For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." He's talking to Christians. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Neither is there Jew nor Greek, neither is there bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye all are one in Christ Jesus." There is no church designed for certain people. There's no black church, there's no white church, there's no Hispanic church. All that is human tradition. If there's anybody from another race, they're welcome here, because God can save anyone. There are different groups who believe otherwise. There is this belief called British Israelism. They believe that the people in Europe were the 10 lost tribes of Israel, and they believe that they are God's covenant people somehow, and that belief is called British Israelism, and that is far from the truth. And then there's another group called Hebrew Israelites. They're African people who believe that they are the lost tribes of Israel, and they believe that they deserve the covenants, and that's far from the truth. God is able to save all, Jew and Gentile. Jesus can save anyone. Jesus can save to the uttermost. Go with me back to John chapter 4, verse 10. John 4, 10. "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. So he starts, changes the subject to her sin, because a person has to know they're a sinner in order to be saved. If you're not a sinner, then you don't. If you can't be convinced that you're a sinner, then how can you be convinced that you need a Savior, right? He said, Go call your husband. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou sayest thou truly. So she is living in adultery. She's shacking up. She's not married, and she's living with a man. And so she's living in adultery. But we understand that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. It doesn't matter what sin you struggle with. Jesus will save you right where you are. He loves you enough to save you right where you are, but he also loves you enough not to leave you where he found you. Amen. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were, past tense, some of you. But ye are washed. Washed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Justified, saying just if I'd never sinned. Justified. Jesus can save to the uttermost. You mean to tell me that God can save a homosexual? That's what this verse said. As such were some of you. You mean God can save a drunkard like me? Yes, He can. This verse says that. You mean that God can save anyone? Yes, He can. God can save anyone. Jesus can save anyone. Justified. Go to Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 25. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. If He will save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. He will save you. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all, not some, all should come to repentance. Notice how it says some men count slackness. Some men count slackness. Now, some people like to look at you and say, that person can't get saved. Some men count slackness, but God is not willing that any should perish. Any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, there are a lot of unpopular people in the world, but they need prayer too. You know that there's politicians out there that people hate, but are you praying for their salvation? Or are you waving your signs? Seriously, the Let's Go Brandon signs, why aren't you praying for him? He's a soul just like you are. He's going to spend an eternity in heaven or hell one day. Why aren't you praying for him? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is able to save to the uttermost. How wonderful would it be if we just woke up one morning and we just heard the President of the United States just got born again and he radically changed America forever. You say, yeah, that'll be the day. Well, maybe somebody said that about you one time. Maybe somebody said that about you one time. Jesus can save anybody. Jesus can save the undesirable. Go with me back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Back to verse 18. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. So this woman's pretty hard to live with, obviously, if five men can't keep her. She's pretty hard to live with, huh? Five of them.
How, someone might say, how can she be part of the church, the bride of Christ, if she can't be the bride of five husbands? Well, Jesus can save anybody.
Amen.
Jesus can save anybody. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus can save anyone. You mean God can save someone just as undesirable as me? Yes, He can. You mean God can love somebody as cruel and hateful as I can be sometimes? Yes, He can. You mean God can love me no matter how many times I fall? Yes, He can. Jesus can save anyone.
Jesus can save the religious. Don't you think for 1 minute you're saved just because you come to this church. Jesus can save the religious. Let's look at verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Notice how he brings the attention to her sin, and then immediately she turns the attention to religion. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place wherein men ought to worship. So she tries to make a religious debate with him. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Let's go into a history lesson of the Samaritans for one moment. Go to 1 Kings chapter 12. First Kings chapter 12, verse 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do the sacrifice of the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So at this time, the kingdom of Israel was divided between Judah and Samaria. And the Samaritan king wanted to stop them from going to Jerusalem to worship. So he made his own religion. And they shall kill me and go up again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. Okay? And said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He took the focus off of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and made two molten calves and gave them the same message. Gave them the same message. God brought them up out of Egypt, did he? But he made these molten calves and said, These did this. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even to Dan, and he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not the sons of Levi. So he made his own religion, so to speak, so that the people will not turn against him and go to Jerusalem. So let's go to 2 Kings chapter 17. What does this have to do with Samaria? Has everything to do with Samaria. Let's go to chapter 17 of 2 Kings, verse 28. 2 Kings 17:28. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and brought and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the house of high places, which the who? Samaritans had made, every nation and their cities wherein they dwelt. So that was what the woman was worshiping. That was her religion, and so she tried to turn it into a theological argument. Whose God is right?
Well, we know which God's right, because the Lord Jesus Christ said salvation is of the Jews. Verse 22 of John chapter 4, ye worship, you know not what. You don't know what you're worshiping. For we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. But she thought she knew it all, didn't she? Until Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh to thee am he. Ooh, I bet she felt that big after that. Jesus can save the religious. Jesus dealt with a religious man in John chapter 3, did he not? Whatever happened to him anyway? Let's continue reading. Let's go to John chapter 7, verse 45. John 7, 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have you not brought him? The officers said unto, answered, never man spake like this man. Amen to that. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? Uh-oh. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Look who speaks up. Good old Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth not our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Nicodemus is saying, hear him out. Let's listen to him for a minute. Let's go to John chapter 19. Verse 38. John 19:38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes about 100 pound weight. And they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes and with spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in this place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day. And the sepulchre was nigh at hand. The sepulchre was nigh at hand. So Nicodemus was there with Jesus whenever they were burying him. So it sounds to me like old Nicodemus got born again. Jesus is able to save the religious. Let's go back to John chapter 4. This is a charge to the church, the saved people. Where are the laborers at? John chapter 4, verse 27. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he saith unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore, saith the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes
and look on the fields. Now understand, they're in Samaria, for they are white and ready for harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reap. I send you to reap whereon ye bestowed no labor. Jesus died on the cross for everybody. You just got to be faithful to go out and give the gospel. I sent you to reap whereon you bestowed no labor. They didn't die on the cross. Those disciples didn't die on the cross for the sins of the world. Jesus did. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. All you got to do is go out and bring them in. All you got to do is give them the gospel and be faithful. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy sayings, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. They went from idol-worshipping pagans to part of the bride of Christ. All because of a bride who couldn't keep a husband went out and told them of their Savior. The laborers are few, though. There is no greater time in the world to be a Christian, I gotta say. There is no greater time in the world to be a Christian. You realize that I could pick up the phone and communicate with somebody hours away. You can get online and share the gospel to anybody and everybody. You could send a missionary to a foreign country and he'll be there in less than a day. There is no greater time to be a Christian. We have so many resources to share the gospel. Why aren't we using it? The laborers are few. But thank God, God chose us to be laborers. God chose us to be laborers. Go out into the harvest and reap. The Lord will bless you for it. Amen. The Lord will bless you for it. Jesus can save anyone. Maybe you've been praying for a relative and you may think that they're past saving. Don't stop praying for them. Somebody's got to pray for them. There's hope for them because Jesus can save anyone. Maybe you're in here today and you've never been saved and you may think, well, God will never save me because I did this and that. Jesus can save anybody. Jesus can save anybody. Verse 42, he's the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Not just a few, not just some elect, the world. There is some doctrine floating around out there today, and there are good men that preach this. I've quoted some of those men. They preach gospel and things like that, but they hold the doctrine of limited atonement. That's garbage. Because Jesus can save anyone. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but some men count slackness. That's those people who believe limited atonement. But is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the people who seem to know everything about the will of God seem to contradict this verse that tells us what's the will of God. He's not willing that any should perish. Not willing. Will. That word will. That's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Go to Matthew chapter 11. And again, these are good men that believe this. I mean, they're wrong on this issue, but there are good men in that crowd that believe these doctrines. And I read their books, and they have some good points in their books, but they're the type of people you got to eat the meat and spit out the bones. Matthew chapter 11, verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. This passage shows that the doctrine of Calvinism is wrong, because Calvin taught that the non-elect could not repent because they were not elect to salvation. But this verse clearly states that if circumstances had been different, these people would have repented. Clear as day. If circumstances had been different, these people would have been saved. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. In case y'all were wondering, I have a problem with the doctrine of limited atonement. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1. John Calvin, he was a reformer in the 15th, 16th century around the Reformation. Calvin taught that not one drop of Christ's blood was shed for non-elect people, meaning that if you never got saved, then Jesus never died for you. If you never got saved, then Jesus never died for you. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Meaning, if you believe what they believe, you're going to hell. They denied the resurrection, for example. Even denying the Lord, that did what? Bought them. And bringing on themselves swift destruction. So if Jesus did not die for the people who rejected him, why does this passage right here say that they were bought? Clearly said that bought them. Again, I have a problem with limited atonement. And the reason why they believe in the doctrine of predestination or limited atonement is they take one or two scriptures and they interpret the whole Bible with one or two verses instead of interpreting one or two verses with the whole Bible. That is the basic thing that they teach you in Bible college, is you interpret one verse with many verses, not many verses with one verse. And yet there are people with PhDs that believe this garbage. And yet they deny the very elementary level thing that they teach you in Bible college. The very elementary thing. And again, another reason why I reject Calvinism is because they cannot preach the gospel honestly. What's the gospel? Jesus died for your sins, he was buried, and he rose from the grave the third day. If you believe limited atonement, how in the world can you preach the gospel? If you can't really say who he died for and who he didn't die for, how can you look at somebody on the street and say, Jesus died for you? How can you look at somebody on the street and say, Jesus died for you? Maybe an honest Calvinist would probably preach it like this. Jesus may or may not have died for you, but if you're elect, he died for you. If you're not elect, he didn't. Well, anyway, good luck. Good luck. See you in heaven? Maybe not. I don't know. Depends on if you're elect or not. But Jesus died for everyone. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If it was limited to just a few people, then it's no longer whosoever. Amen. I'm glad I'm a whosoever. Amen. Aren't you? Amen. I'm glad I'm a whosoever. Jesus can save anyone. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everybody that's here. I pray, Lord, that everybody knows that they're saved. I pray that everybody here is saved and knows it. But maybe there's one here today that's never been saved. Maybe there's one here that has never trusted you because they thought that they've done something too wrong to get saved. Lord, I pray that you comfort that soul and know that they can come to the throne of grace with boldness. I pray, Lord, that they come to you and believe the gospel, the finished work that you did for them on the cross and your bodily resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for dying for a sinner like me. Thank you, Lord, for your unlimited atonement. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give an invitation. If the Lord spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Again, I may have bashed on some Calvinists today, but again, these are good men. I've named one of my children after one of them. They're good. They have some good writings, but again, it's one of them things that you have to eat the meat and spit out the bones. I'm reading a book by John MacArthur at this moment. He's a good man, but there are some things that these men believe that I don't. And think about it like this. Everything has an extreme, but there's always truth somewhere right there in the middle. There's Calvinism over here, and then there's Arminian over here. Both of them are wrong. I believe somewhere right here in the middle. God knows who's saved. God knows who's lost. But he offered it for whosoever. He offered it for whosoever. It's just like this. God is one God in three persons. God is sovereign, but also man has free will to choose him or reject him. So, I hope that this was a comfort to somebody today. The intention of the message is to show that Jesus died for everybody. Everybody is precious in his sight. Even you, even me. God loves the world. Brother Ray, can you dismiss us?